my past life, the ghost remembers. A phantasm glowing in a sparkly shimmer. A wrath twisting at some memories within. These weird thoughts have always been. See the past. Release the fear. Discard your hearts. Bring the spirit. Lifetimes interweave the fabric. Chosen paths you already picked. Lapse like patterns collage and spin, tripping through threads of webs within. Ancient ones beginning flash, knowledgeable angle ending crash. Aliens let processes course, the past is calling, no remorse. The entity enters, I'm without. Around are shimmery, glassy stars. Emptiness surrounds, no sounds, no shouts. This is the time I've gone too far. Lifetimes interweave the fabric, chosen paths already picked. Lapse like patterns collage and spin, tripping through threads of webs within. Phantasm controlling by its psychic tremors, a conjured past life, shown, remember. Fleeting life forgotten, the ghost recalled. The summoned ghost splits, the time full.
Comes Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. I'll tell you what, we're coming on now. That, of course, was in the background. That was definitely some of the wonderful music from Andromeda with Love. Great stuff. Great stuff. We have so much fun with that. Tonight is going to be a double whammy Health, Science, and Energy Show. As there are always lots of fun, as you know. Makes me want to get out of the cold winter glow. And so once again, you all know it's time, it's space, the beginning and the rebirth of the human race. Oops, that's Dr. Fred. Oh, I'm getting poetic here. Anyhow, that was the poet James Andrew, and he's been published in the anthology that Edgar Allan Poe's publishing was also published in. That's the opening from Andromeda with Love. And by the way, thanks for the Saturday night listening audience. I had at least my 24 listeners now, plus 24 of their friends, plus 24 more of their friends. I think we had a total of something like 72 listeners the other night. That was amazing. And not too many, like I said, I don't take that negative feedback. Those don't work for me. They scare me. I'm in denial. You know that. My middle name is Denial. Anyway, Don is gradually going to be posting the archives. Ha ha, it's the big joke around here now. Archives? What are those? There's many, many, at this point in time, there's many of them that are to be posted, but they aren't. Someday there'll be a whole lot of Dr. Bell out there on the bbsradio.com. Also, if you want to reach us, the website is www.pyradyne.com. I want to make sure everybody gets that from now on. And also, our 800 toll-free number is 1-800-729-2603. And if you're offshore, it's 1-949-499-2603. So that's, once again, 1-800-729-2603 or 1-949-499-2603. And, of course, all else fails. Go to your trusty search engine and type in Dr. Fred Bell, and it's all there. So anyway, we're going to have a split show tonight. We're going to have a show from the old Health Energy Science show with Jim, which I think you're going to enjoy this one. It's on the Firestar. And then we're going to swing into a lecture after that. So I guess I know they're probably out there somewhere. And also, we're going to start the 11 o'clock hour because I've got so many shows archived here from previous times and lectures that need to get out there. So we're going to have the late night Dr. Bell show. It won't be exactly the Science and Energy show. It will be the 11 o'clock late hour of power with Dr. Fred Bell. And I know that they're probably fooling around with a microphone in the background. They always are. So we'll have to tune in and see what's going on in the background there. Because I'm looking for Jim. I don't know. He's back there somewhere, you know. That Jim, he's always looking to find me, and eventually he shows up. Then we start the show. I know there's so much information here. You know, I'm getting all your emails. I try to cover those on the live shows, and I'll try to knock that down to about two a month because I don't want too much Dr. Bell out there. That's not going to be healthy for you. We've been covering crystals. We've been
I don't know if you would have had a chance to catch any of the Elizabeth show this morning.
Yeah, I heard a little bit of
Dr. Bell.
Doesn't he sound great? 1985
Dr. Bell.
Last
night on, you know, my favorite subject.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like it was a real crazy one, huh?
It was wild.
So
I've got a very interesting tape
I'm going
to be playing on the air in a couple of weeks, or maybe when I get back
right here,
from
if you need,
my
just
vacation
call
in Chicago, that I think you're going to be interested in.
Sounds good. What's the tape about?
I think I've told you and our listeners know a little bit about the UFO landing outside RAF Bentwaters. Well, this is a tape of the commanding officer of that base at the time.
Uh-huh.
Making his investigation, and he put his investigation as he was making it in the field on cassette.
Right.
It was done at night. You hear the investigation going on. All of a sudden, the commanding officer and his men spot mysterious lights.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
And it is extremely dramatic. And we'll, I don't know if the CNN is doing a story on this also. They may beat us to the punch, but certainly they're the ones that have really helped Larry Fawcett, the original investigator in the case, unearth so much. And anyway, we can look forward to that.
When you play that, I'll get one of my Semyasi tapes with the sounds of the Pleiadian ships that we've played on the air here a couple times.
And we'll do a little mix or something, huh?
Yeah, we'll just put a little special effects on the, maybe we should use that for an opener for my show.
Now that would be interesting.
I've been wanting to put a special effects, tape together for a long time just to have it on my show just to wake people up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, it's kind of fun. I remember when we did Aspen, I did Pepke Auditorium in Aspen, Colorado, back in 79, I think it was. We had a situation like you guys had last night. The place holds 1,200. We had to turn 600 away, and we had 1,800 in there. That's how hungry people are for UFO information. It's amazing.
Well, again, it was quite a situation. We had, it looked like the opening of 2010. I mean, people were wrapped around the block, and there was a lot of confusion and stuff. And again, I'd like to publicly thank everyone that came last night, and I hope you enjoyed it.
Well, I hope that everybody later on, when in about 2 or 3 weeks, when I've come out with my new catalogs, which we're in the process of doing now, in them are pictures and, you know, photographs of some of the exotic systems that we've used around the world for these kinds of things. And some of the people are would be considered very well-known public central figures that are using the systems but want to remain anonymous. But some of the equipment that they're using will be pictured in the new systems catalog and is now becoming available. I've had 2 or 3 devices that I really haven't made available to what I would call my general following in the UFO area. One of them is a unit that's quite large. It's a unit called a Firestar Orb. You've never seen anything like it. It wouldn't even fit in your studio because it's too big. It wouldn't go through the door. But it's a device that works a whole lot like, you know, how a flower attracts, at a certain point, the bee to it to do the pollination, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this device was given to me by the extraterrestrials quite a few years ago. In its design, and there's only been probably 5 or 6 of them ever built in the whole world. And one of them was installed up in a house in Winding Way up in Malibu, a huge home way up over the cliffs. And the guy that put it in kind of knew what he was doing, but he really didn't. He sort of wanted to believe it, but he couldn't believe it could happen to him. And this device uses, in the center of it, it's like a giant cross. you know, those radiators in my living room?
Yes.
Okay, well, there's like a giant cross there. And this cross, it's in that shape of the radiator, but on each corner of the arm of the cross is a octahedral chamber formed of 24 karat gold pyramids. And the cross itself is structured, and it has a stainless steel wire, so it has a high tension suspension, so you can touch these wires. It sounds like a sitar. It's a very high tension, so the whole thing is like a huge crystal. And in the very center part of it, we put a diamond in it. It has diamonds in it, like 2 and 3 carat flawless cut diamonds are suspended, once again, on a very tight suspension made up of a special wax-covered thread. And the whole system is carried up to about a 30,000 volt charge. And in each one of these quadrants of the octahedrons on each one of the corners of the unit has different gemstones. We'll put sapphires, rubies, emeralds, opals, whatever, all the way around. So we'll have 4 different opposing stones on each of the corner quadrants and this huge diamond that we use in the center. And then it's charged and it's suspended at sort of hung on the wall at a straight up and down position, like a completely vertical position. It's tilted back so that if you stood away from it, it would be looking at you, yet the back of the thing would be pointing up into space. And then what we do is we fire in this case, in the beginning days of these things, we were using a helium neon laser. And the helium neon laser, the first one we did was up at Aspen, Colorado. We shoot the helium neon laser right directly into the diamond in the center. And what happens is the diamond in the center then diffuses the energy, and certain amounts of it hit these different 4 different stones in the outer quadrants of the unit. This then sets up a resonant pattern that begins to oscillate and vibrate, and it increases energy at a pretty high rate of speed. And an analogy to that would be looking in the human body at the base of the spine, at the lowest chakra, the root chakra. We have what's called a 4-petal lotus. And what that means is there are 4 glands, the adrenals, the spleen, the liver, and the kidneys, that work in conjunction with one another in the bottom of the human body. And when these organs are stimulated by certain kinds of coherent radiation, which we were talking about yesterday, they cause a flow of cerebral spinal fluid to begin to move up through the bone networks, the spinal column networks, up through the base of the spine. And finally, this spinal network, this fluid, which has been released from the bottom of the spine, reaches a point at the base of the brain, at the cerebellum. Then what happens is the brain opens up. It changes its resistance. In other words, it's a certain amount of resistance when you're waking up in the morning. Your brain, you know, seems clear once you get going and the adrenaline gets up there, versus at the end of the day, you've had a lot of input and you can hardly, you know, you're kind of foggy.
Mine works just the opposite.
Well, okay, because you're polarized backwards. But anyway, what happens is the resistance inside the brain changes when this adrenaline comes in, and what happens is the neurons in the brain then start switching at different speeds, which then links human consciousness to higher octaves into the universe. It's like this would be like a comparison of that would be someone taking LSD or psilocybin. It causes a change because LSD and psilocybin will mock up or fake out the brain as far as the serotonin structure is concerned because they look very similar to it. But what happens is the consciousness of the user actually changes. But in the case of adrenaline or the movement of the kundalini, this is a natural change. It's not a drug-related change. It's an automatic change that takes place, which then sends out or causes a person, in the case of consciousness, to be aware, to have a cosmic awareness, to have the third eye open, to have all these things happening. And then what happens is electromagnetic energies move with less and less resistance up and down the spinal column so that you end up with a screening across the entire gray matter of these electromagnetic energies. It's almost like a waveform. So what happens is the gray matter is now illuminated or activated or turned on or switched on or lit up or whatever your terminology would be. And so this then causes the consciousness of the body to become awakened into this higher realm of knowledge. Now, in the case of a lot of ET contacts, a lot of these people that have been contacted on a what I would call a steady basis and have been proven to be credible type of contactees have gone through this change. Like, for example, when the Montgomery lady writes about those books on ETs and Brad Steiger, all of these people have had some kind of higher awakening. So the Firestar Orb works on the principle what I would call the excitation field, whereby this energy is moved up the base of the spine, but instead of moving it up the base of the spine, because this is something that's suspended in a building, it causes the entire building to start vibrating using the core frequencies of the earth. And so when the core frequencies of the earth are tapped into by this kind of a device, what happens is it sends out like a beacon out into space. It goes all the way out. You know, it's quite interesting the way the thing works. This beacon then sets up an energy that if the locality is such that it can handle this kind of energy, somehow or other there's a veil that is lifted, and there's a lot more UFO activity. You know, in some cases, for example, people that have opened astral vision, for example, could see a UFO, and another person standing right next to them couldn't see it. Yet you could have two or three people agreeing that they're actually seen or have seen a UFO, and one or two people that haven't seen anything. And the ones that saw it, it might have been just like a very quick flash, because motion in and out of the astral plane is like breathing. But it takes very quickly. In other words, it takes place very quickly, this actual breath of the universe, our own breathing cycle. If you realize how quick the moment that you breathe in and you start breathing out, there's a very fast transaction between the moment you let the air out and the moment it starts coming in. In other words, the rate, the diaphragm. Now, the diaphragm, for example, in the body could move very slowly, but because it's a large surface area located at the base of the lungs. But looking at the passageways, the small passageways whereby the air, the high velocity of the air comes into the nose, the switching speed and the velocity of the air going through the venturis of the nose is quite high in relationship to the speed of the diaphragm. It's the same thing that happens with some of these UFO sightings when they move onto the physical and onto the astral and back and forth. So you have to be somewhat attuned to this to actually see it, unless it's a full-blown knockout, drag-out sighting like we do occasionally have, where masses of people, are just there and they're seeing it, because it's just a complete drop from that higher plane into this dimension that we're in now, which we're getting more and more of those sightings. So these are the kinds of things that have to be taken into consideration. I remember back when we were doing spoon bending classes up at Lake Tahoe, we would have witnesses to our class. And when Lawrence Kennedy or one of the students would get up there and bend the spoon, some people would come to our classes and they would be taking the classes, but other people, their friends, would be there for part of the class and they would just be utter disbelievers. In their mind, it was absolutely impossible for them to witness the phenomenon of a spoon being bent by mental energy. And so what would happen is Lawrence would sometimes grab the spoon for a skeptic, put it right in front of his face. And the moment that spoon would bend, the person would blink their eyes, they would turn their heads, or they would become distracted. I've seen that time and time again, and we would talk about that phenomenon. And that person's spirit just isn't ready to witness that degree of advancement, because that is almost like an initiation when you actually begin to see this happening. The same thing happens with the extraterrestrials because of our relationship in the universe right now. Some people just aren't ready for it. Some people try to be ready for it. They get caught in the fever of the group and the enthusiasm of the group. But when the actual encounter comes, they can't be there. They have to leave. They have to come and then leave right away. There's a million different excuses that people will conjure up because they're really not ready for that fast vitality or that high vitalizing of their bodies yet. They're still working out earthly karma. But anyway, the Firestar was one application of the laser, and we put one in Hawaii. But anyhow, getting back up to the one in Malibu, when we installed that one, that was number two, the second one to ever be built in this world. This guy that I put it in his house, he was a big businessman over in Century City. And one of the guys that was working with him was a medical doctor. He was probably one of the most grounded out medical doctors that I've ever met. He was a nice guy, these science guy types, very professional, but not even about to hear anything that he didn't want to hear, or if it wasn't written in a medical textbook, this guy could barely handle vitamins, you know. I mean, he believed they were good, but he didn't know why, because they don't teach nutrition. And he was very grounded out. Well, one morning about, I guess it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, I got this call. And you got to realize that this doctor was like the kind of guy that after 8 o'clock, he never called you, because he was like totally respective of people's time, and he never called you before, say, 8 o'clock in the morning. Here I get a call at 3 o'clock in the morning, and this guy is on the phone. He sounds like he's having a nervous breakdown, you know. And I asked him, I said, John, what are you calling me at 3 o'clock in the morning? This is completely out of your character pattern. And he's like freaked, and he says, Fred, I didn't believe you, but now I do. Because what had happened is some kind of a UFO had come up the coast from Malibu, from Point Dune down there. They said they really first saw it, because they were, I guess, having a couple of drinks or something late at night. It came up and came outside the house, and this house was like sitting by itself on about 20 acres of land, and this thing proceeded to go around the house, and the house had like skylights in it, and there was a red glow coming down through the skylights into the house. At first they said they felt something, and they looked up at the machine because the laser was bright red where it hit that diamond. It was glowing, but then they looked out the skylights, and they thought that outside the skylight was a continuation of the reflection of the diamond being struck by this red laser, but it wasn't. It was this outside vehicle that was feeding back red light back into it. And another interesting experience that we had happen was up at Aspen. This is where we learned how to transmit back and forth. This is back in the early days of, what I would call heavy group communication. We built a machine. I've got pictures of it here. We had it. We were up in an area called Bluebells, right up by a pyramid, a place called Pyramid Peak, and we were up about 9,500 feet up. And we had a series of irradiators, and one of these fire stars pointed out at this point over the Pyramid Peak, and we began to see some lights up there. It was too far away to make out any physical size of the craft that we saw. We could just see some lights that were in a pattern, and they were quite a bit brighter than Jupiter. And this was an evening when we were experimenting around with the ionizer, but it wasn't like an ordinary ionizer that you've seen. This was like a 50 kV ionizer, and we were pulsating it. We were actually turning on with a key switch so that the entire system built up a field and then dropped the field. And we found that if we could pulse it 3 or 4 times, the twinkle or the lights out above the Pyramid Peak would absolutely go into the same pattern. So we began to establish this transmission pattern back and forth. And this was not a mental type communication. This was hard physical communication. And the next morning in the Aspen paper carried a large article about these mysterious lights that had been seen hovering over the town that night. So these are just a couple of the experiences that we've had with the things like the fire star. So I finally decided I might as well make it available to a few more people.
Dr. Bell, before we continue with that, I would like to take a time out for something that is very important. That is a word from Excalibur. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show right after this. The name is Excalibur. Excalibur, the world's finest nutritional supplement for the 80s that you've heard Dr. Fred Bell speak of so often, is now available to you at a super low price. Only $14.95. Excalibur is a synergistically formulated supplement that took years to develop and guarantees maximum assimilation within the body. Most supplements meet only part of your nutritional needs, but Excalibur is a full-spectrum nutritional supplement. Don't settle for a second best when you can have Excalibur. Order today by calling area code 714-499-2603. That number, 499-2603. Or write to Excalibur, 891 Santa Ana Street, Laguna Beach, California, 92603. Remember, don't settle for a second best when you can have Excalibur. And we are back on the Dr. Fred Bell Health, Science, and Energy Show. And Dr. Bell, I believe that $14.95 price for Excalibur is a special to KFOX listeners, is it not?
Right. The retail price on that is $28.50 in our catalog. So it's not what I would call an inexpensive formula, but because it has the B15 and all the good, the complete complexes of everything in it, it's It's a great buy, I'll tell you. People that have taken that and started taking it never stop, including myself. I've been on it for several years now.
And certainly that $14.95 price is quite a discount.
It is. You know, a lot of people, you know, there's this, because of the very, very poor condition of the ultraviolet, you know, the ozone layer and high quantities of ultraviolet that are coming in right now. It's the time of year when we really get baked in it, plus the increased amount of sulfur emissions in the air. It's causing a lot of breakdown in the immune systems of the body. The result is that everybody that I know has at least a slight head cold. Most people right now are feeling this. These are all parts of what's called a strain called the rhinovirus. And you're probably noticing a few people around not feeling too well, right?
As a matter of fact, I myself had a little touch of something, but not to any degree like
right.
Some of the others, man.
Just like me, you know. I did not lose one working day this year, and I had some friends of mine that were not taking the Excalibur go down.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be down for a week in bed. One attorney friend of mine was flat on his back for 3 days. People that are taking the Excalibur and formulas like that, which there really aren't that many, you'll get hit with it. We're not saying that you're going to be immutable to everything, because that's the human factor here. But if you want to amplify the Excalibur when you know you're getting hit with it, just slow down on dairy products and mucus-forming foods and go to a higher concentration of raw foods and vegetables, fruits and vegetables. Me, I had to go on fruit for a day and a half, which I don't mind doing. And boy, I'll tell you, it just my system cleared right up immediately. So I just have a little residual in the sinus cavities now, which isn't that much. But I'm telling you, you know, that keeping the immune system up really pays off. And Excalibur is excellent for that. Also, I want to remind everybody that Christmas time is coming. And I'll tell you, instead of buying these, you know, I don't get caught. I get caught in the Christmas spirit. But I didn't get caught in the Christmas rush and the commercialism of Christmas, because it's totally to me, it's just a waste of time, and it shows a lack of integrity to get caught in this greed factor that seems to prevail. But what I feel is really important is handing out or giving away health for Christmas, and the Excalibur and some of the other health products that are available right now, especially on the Debbie Kenner Show. She's got a lot of things that complement Excalibur. Make excellent gifts, and they're the kind of gifts that people will appreciate, because it shows that you've thought long enough to care about them a little bit, you know? And speaking about caring, I'll be hoping that everybody will come out and see us, I think it's January 4th and 5th, at the Pasadena Convention Center with the National Health Federation. We're all going to be out there having a lot of fun for about 2 or 3 days. I'll have some of my toys out there. And also, we've got some really good tape series coming up now. I got my tape man editing the last 6 months of my KFOX tapes now down into 3 or 4 segments of information. And I think that people out there would like to get those, because we've covered a lot of stuff in the last mm-hmm. 6 months. You know it, Jim?
Yeah. Well, do you know what your booth number is going
to
be?
No, I don't know yet. I know it, but I have to go downstairs and look. I think it's usually in the 60s. I forget. 69 seems like it was always a good number for me, you know.
Well,
believe it or not, I've had that number 3 or 4 years, you know. But usually it ends up as an 8 numerologically, but 69 doesn't. So it's either that or it numerologically it'll add up to an 8, which is my birth sign number. I've had, usually when I go to a hotel or get a health food, you know, in these different shows, it's always an 8. But I'll look it up and have it ready by tomorrow's Wednesday, so I'll have it on the show tomorrow. I'll have all the information in front of me.
We want to let all the Fred Bell fans know where they can find you.
Right. Maybe if everybody... Last year it was fun because we had a complete room. I don't know if I'll do it this year. Now, it was a lot of work, but we had a complete room last year at the National Health Federation. All to ourselves. We had our booth plus a room, and I had a laser show that ran in there. I had Steve Halpern up there with his music, and I had Larry Jacobs with his back slants, those backy things that he sells that you lay on. They're like a cushion that you lay down backwards on. I mean, if your feet are higher than your head. We had them in a circle last year, and then we had on the ceiling, it was about a 25 by 25 square foot room. It was totally black. We had a quadrasonic stereo system in there, and we had 4 or 5 big lasers running continuously, and we had a couple of sound computers so that the lasers were being fed into a series of optics, and the optics projected up on the ceiling, so it looked like you were out in space going from one galaxy to another with all kinds of, like, you know how, like, in Star Wars, they go into space drive, you know, faster than speed of light drive, how everything blurs out and everything changes. We were doing that. And we ran that for 3 days, and we got people so high in there that they would fall asleep. I mean, it would just take them right out because of the music, and they would wake up, and the guards would be running them out at night. They would be out for like 3 or 4 hours. I don't know if we're going to do that this year. We might, but that was fun. We had a great time out there last year. And so I like to have – the NHF is always fun. But so anyway, too bad that KFOX is not a television show. When are we going to have television, K-Fox television, Jim?
Well, I don't know if that's really in the offing.
We could get up on maybe Channel 82 or something, you know, and have laser – have coherent transmissions on the video beams on people's television sets.
Well, you perfect the technology, and then we'll take advantage of it.
That would be fun.
For the latest information on Dr. Bell's work, new audio and video tape releases, product discounts, or if you just have questions, please contact Dr. Bell's Tape Library, 9320 Roselindale Avenue, Alameda, California, 91331, or call area code 818-896-1621. Thank you.
Well, there's another Dr. Bell show, all recorded out like you can't believe. That was the good old days of Jim. So now, what we're going to do is we're going to go to another ambiance of Dr. Bell, which will be kind of fun. And what we're going to do now is imagine that we are in a lecture environment today. And, of course, Dr. Bell is organizing all the people. All organize you people. Everybody has to get organized. That's really important. So, of course, we're going to talk about some interesting things in this lecture. We're going to talk about how the body works as a system, how the aura is produced, the characteristics of quartz, super physical powers, and, of course, questions. Oh, my goodness. And this was done in November of 23rd of 1985. So we will be bringing this puppy on up here just as soon as Dr. Bell gets the room ready.
How are you
ready.
Doing today?
Hi, great. I'm going great, Dr. Day. Bell.
I guess this is our board up here.
Yeah, I'm ready, Dr. Bell.
What I'm going to do today, I imagine, how many of you have heard me speak before in here anyway?
I've never heard you, Dr. Okay. Bell.
There's anyhow, a lot of
I'll
things that I want to
get out of here and let Dr. Bell take over.
Today because it's been covered before. We started running a mini series on lecturing. So there are tapes in the back to talk about different things that I do talk about because she's asked me to cover some crystal technology today and pyramid energy. And to really understand it, it requires some kind of a background in it, which the tapes will have in them. And I'm going to put a diagram on the board here to talk about our bodies a little bit first because in order to understand these things in our environment, we have to understand internally how our bodies work first. Now, our body is made up of several different things, so I'm going to show you in a block diagram here a little bit of a system about the body. First of all, the body is 5% mineral. Okay. 5% mineral in our body is responsible for 95% of our metabolic functions. How many
might
of you
add
have
this
heard
chart
of the Global 2000 report?
Rays of Truth book.
Just
on page 75 or
okay, well,
somewhere in there.
To get it.
If you want to grab
it
that, and kind of follow along. But it's basically a block diagram that we've talked about before. So I'm sure some of you are familiar with it. Some of you, of course,
okay.
won't.
There you go.
But it's pretty descriptive anyway.
So anyway, the body is 5% mineral, and if you read the Global 2000 report, it talks about the destruction of this planet by the year 2000 by natural resources, natural environmental things that we're doing to ourselves. It talks about
yes, we refer to that a lot in those days because that was
and
the hottest thing going
in
the Global 2000 report. You can still get copies of it at Amazon.
Behavior of the planetary
quite available
masses
still.
We see them today. For example, people, the aggressive attitudes on freeways. How many of you are aware of when you drive down the freeway in 8 minutes how much carbon monoxide goes in your body? How many of you are not aware of that? Okay, well, your body requires oxygen to make the cells turn on and turn off, which I'll talk about in a few minutes. Without oxygen, your cells don't function. Your body can't reproduce cells. And what happens is carbon monoxide will go into your body instead of oxygen because your body will hook up to it quicker. In other words, carbon dioxide will displace oxygen at the rate of 150 to 1. So if you had, you were sitting in a room and there were 150 oxygen cells sitting there and 1500 carbon dioxide, the carbon dioxide cells would go into your body, or the molecules would go into your body quicker, and then the oxygen would come later. And the effects of carbon dioxide poisoning are, you know, first of all, of course, is aggression. Your body is sped up in the first part because serotonin is displaced and moved around. That upsets the adrenal complex, so it causes you to be very aggressive. Then what happens is it causes a, after the aggression part goes by, then it causes a lapse of consciousness, which sometimes causes accidents, which then causes a lack of motivation, because then a hormone called vasopressin is displaced. So you're motivating power. So you get, by the time you get to work, you're burned out. By the time you get somewhere, you're burned out. And these effects last approximately 15 to 16 hours. So if you look at the average person driving on the freeway to and from work, by the time they get to work, you know, and they work all day long, they're starting to unwind from the freeway that evening. Then they have to get on the freeway and go home. Time to get home, it's the next morning before they're unwound, they're back to work again. And this is not the way that God intended us to live, but this is the way that we ended up, you know, jeopardizing ourselves. So as a result, by the Sunday afternoon, you start to feel normal. And maybe by Monday, you might feel a little bit better. But usually by Monday, you've had another dose of carbon monoxide, so you're depressed again. Usually worse on Monday. You know, Mondays are usually the worst day for most people. Sunday afternoon is usually the best, because that's about the time that you have begun to get some of the stuff out of your system. This is how we got into ionization. Ionization will help alleviate these kinds of effects. I wouldn't drive in a freeway anywhere without ionization. Same thing happens in jet aircraft. When you're around the jet airplanes in airports, you pick up a huge amount of carbon monoxide. And of course, it's inside the planes and you carry it with you. The planes land at the airport, like at LAX, you smell all the jet fuel. Then they seal it up, the jets are sealed up, the pressurized at 12,000 feet, and you take that pollution from the Los Angeles airport to whatever country or whatever city or state you're going to. And they call it jet lag. Well, it just goes on and on and on. Global 2000 report deals with these kinds of problems. It talks about strontium-90 radiation in the milk and dairy products. It talks about the acid rain, which was killing all of the fish in all the lakes and destroying all the crops. How many of you have noticed that the crops are tasteless now? You know, you go to the store and you don't taste it anymore. That's because the enzymes are not there, the minerals are not there. So these are the kinds of things that we have to address. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the people are just getting crazier and angrier and all the time now, and less logical. I mean, it's just a destruction is taking place right now. And this was all, I'd written a book on it called Death of Ignorance. It was released in 79. It spoke of this quite highly, and then I worked with the American Lung Association back in the early 70s. We've gone into these problems, and I'm seeing the problems reoccur in greater and greater frequencies now. So today I'll go through some of the ways the body works, and I'll go through some of the solutions, the short-term solutions, but there are long-term problems that have to be addressed here. And I include biochemistry in all of my systems, because if we don't have the proper, for example, if you wear a pyramid for any length of time and you don't replenish your body in the biochemistry, because the pyramid demands certain biochemical products be put back in the body. If you don't, the pyramid will end up depleting certain organs in your body also. So you have to understand this. I mean, so you have to keep your body constantly supplied with certain nutrients and ingredients. So anyway, getting back to the minerals. Minerals are very important because they're 5% of your body, which controls 95% of your metabolic functions. The minerals work on three different frequencies, which I'll talk about in a little while. And different, we call them octaves. So the body is mineral, 5%. Next is enzymes. Enzymes deal with what's called pH, potential hydrogen. Potential hydrogen is a factor that for your body to assimilate anything biochemically, the frequency, the vibratory frequency has to be centered. If it's not centered, then what happens is the body has to use up energy to assimilate this food. If the body has to use up energy, then it actually is being depleted by the food it's put in, and this is called allergy. So pH is very important, and we have a pH factor of about 5.5 to about 6.5, which is ideal for the body. Acids. After enzymes come vitamins. Vitamins have light characteristics, meaning we are beings of light, and each vitamin, each nutrient, has a particular wavelength of light frequencies in it, or a band of frequencies in it, that are necessary for human consciousness to express themselves on the physical plane. Vitamins are polarized. Their energy is not a pH-oriented type energy. Their energy is oriented towards the type of polarities that they possess. For example, all vitamins polarize to the left, except vitamin E, which polarizes to the right. So they're called lava rotary. Most substances that go into the body that are polarized to the right are poisonous, like arsenic, cyanide, insect bites, chiari, these type of things. Okay? So now we're talking about polarity and light. Now these explanations may be a little bit different than the ones you're normally used to hearing. The reason they are different is because this is the next step from what you have been hearing. In order to understand altered states of consciousness or superphysical states of beingness, which we're, I'm sure, all here interested in acquiring or being around, these kinds of terms have to be commonplace in your life to understand and balance the energies that come in. Okay, after vitamins, then, we come into proteins. Proteins are heavier forms of substances which are made up of a combination of minerals, enzymes, and vitamins, and they begin to form chains. Proteins are the heavier building block in matter that have very strong chemical characteristics that will actually possess chemical characteristics mated with consciousness. Proteins then become peptides, the peptide chain, and peptides then become hormones. Okay, does everybody follow that? Hormones. Hormones are stored in the body, which I'll get into in a few minutes and what they do. Now, parallel to that, we have over here, we have atoms. Everything is made up of atoms, right? Then we have molecules. Now, molecules are the smallest unit of energy containing any kind of a characteristic, okay? Atoms are electrical. Molecules then form cells at the rate of 50 million per second, if we're healthy.
Most people are not.
If we're not forming cells at that rate, it's been established, then our body is degenerating and we're evolving backwards or we're aging. And we go from cells to organs. The specific organs that I work with are called the endocrine glands. The endocrine glands store the hormones. Hormones are stored in the endocrine system. Okay? Now what happens over here, in another world, is the brain. The brain is basically a switch. Okay? It's two types of switch. One switch, which is normally open, and if something happens, it will close. Call a receptor, and the other type of switch, which is normally closed, if something comes along, it will open, called an effector. Okay, is everybody with me so far? What? Beg your pardon? The receptor is normally an open synapse, you know, in the medical terms, it's called a synapse. And when a hormone comes along, it closes the gap, causing electricity, potassium, and sodium and other things to flow across this gap, causing an electrical frequency to happen, a vibration, a pattern, which we'll talk about later on here. Now, over here, which is the same place as here, within the atomic world, actually within the subatomic world, and beyond that, are patterns called levels of consciousness. These are part of the grand design of the universe that, when laid out properly, which they are, will cause the physical form to happen, the physical plane to happen, and things to happen. spirit will work through the physical plane. These are called levels of consciousness. First one, of course, there are seven of these known to modern man. There are others, but there are seven that we discussed. Each one has seven sub-levels. First one, of course, is the physical level, which has sub-planes, which are called solid, liquid, gas, and three ionic or etheric states, depending on whether you're oriented in science, hard science, or whether you're oriented into more of the metaphysical side of life. Then we go from the physical plane to the astral plane. The astral plane is a quite interesting place. It's just about as diversified as the physical plane, meaning that on certain levels it's an energy storage place where energy follows thought and all our energies stay, like for the heaven worlds of religious beliefs. Further up in vibration, it becomes a corridor for movement across the universe and galaxies and space and time. And then further on up, higher, it moves us up into total light and total energy field, which then approaches the mental plane. The mental plane is like deep within the atom now, and it's beyond space, beyond time. In the mental world, there's a part of it that's logical, where things are structured, which is the lower part of the mental plane, and then the higher part of the mental plane where things are not structured, they're spontaneous. Beyond that, is the intuitive plane, which is where the higher masters reside that we've heard about, the light beings. And beyond those planes are the modanic and the higher spiritual planes, and the higher places that we reach in time. Okay. Now the idea is that this consciousness has to be gotten to the brain, and from the brain it has to be gotten into the body. Okay. So, parallel to the endocrine system is an area called the vagus nerve, which responds to frequencies. Okay, it responds to all kinds of different frequencies. For example, it responds to colors, magnetic frequencies, frequencies in gemstones, planetary shift, the moon, sound, all of these kinds of things. When these conditions are prevalent, the endocrine system releases hormones into the brain. The brain switches at certain frequencies, called by some of the old philosophers, we call this the frequencies of philosopher's stone. There's a lot of old metaphysical things, but what happens is the brain starts switching at the right frequencies, and these different levels of consciousness, depending on where the brain is at, begin to manifest on the physical plane. That's basically how the body works. Now, are there any questions at this point? What? Well, what's complicated? Now's your chance. Right.
Which then translates into the brain.
Right.
And the brain puts in the ear to the body.
Right. That's exactly the way it works. Now, does everybody understand that? I realize that's a lot for someone that's never seen this before. But it invites questions. Important? Yeah, go ahead.
You said it for us that wearing pyramids quite a bit, so it can keep the body imprinted in some way.
Yes, it can.
I'm wondering, is that related to the shape or related to the metals that might be used in the pyramid?
Okay. It has to do, first of all, let's look at a problem that we're faced with in today. Let's just take smog. Okay, that's one of my favorites. Okay. Now, I'm going to erase part of this, call it my working area. Or actually, what I could probably do is work on this board here. Alright. Try not to block this thing too much. Okay, first of all, let's look at a particular, let's take this thing apart and look at one particular action here. Okay? We have a brain here. Brain matter. Here's the nose. Okay? Okay, inside the brain, inside the hair in the nose, are little hairs. These little hairs go directly to an organ right here called the pituitary. Okay? Now, let's look at what's in the pituitary, alright. First of all, pituitary has a hormone called vasopressin. Remember, how many of you have read some of Dirk Pearson's material in his life extension book? He talks a lot about vasopressin. We did a lot of research for that. Alright, vasopressin, now let's look at this, alright. Vasopressin would have minerals in it. Okay. Vasopressin would be made up of enzymes, vitamins, proteins. Matter of fact, when you get down to the protein, it's made up of lysine and arginine. Okay? That's what's in vasopressin, lysine and arginine. When these are combined, they're stored in the pituitary. Now, if we look over here at the brain, which is right nearby, and if we release this vasopressin into the brain, what happens is, have you ever seen a drawing of a synapse? This is a switch. And what happens is here comes some blood, and in here is the vasopressin, and when this connects into this gap, the electricity flows at a certain frequency in the brain being received now. This particular frequency that vasopressin characteristically enhances in our brain happens to be at about the mid-astral plane. Frequency about mid-astral. Mid-astral is a feeling. It's an emotional feeling. Look at the astral plane. Transpose the word astral for emotional. Okay, and you have a better understanding of it. And the particular mid-astral feeling that we're dealing with here is euphoria. Okay? Because there are seven different glands in the body. There are seven sets of hormones in each gland, and there are seven basic sets of feelings in human consciousness. There's energy, there's sexual, there's creative, meditative, euphoria, there's different ones. But each feeling, which is a combined bunch of frequencies, it's like a television set. You get the right frequencies coming in the antenna and you tune them right, you see a picture. If you don't have them tuned right, you don't see a picture. If you're listening to some beautiful music on your radio, it's the right frequencies coming out of the instrument, through the air, into your radio, back out through good speakers. All this has to work. Same thing with the body in order to reach euphoria. Okay? So this is what's happening here. Now, what would trigger the vasopressin pituitary release under normal environments would be negative ions. Negative ions will do this. This would be a waterfall. This could be the seashore, up in the pine trees, up in the brightwood. Anywhere you happen to be where you get high, feel good, you can bet electrically this is going on. Okay? Now let's look at the opposite of that. If we get on the freeway. No. So if we get on the freeway, immediately there's no negative ionization. It's positive ionization. Positive ionization immediately begins to deplete vasopressin. In its place, we get carbon monoxide. So with carbon monoxide, we're not going to feel very good. The opposite of euphoria is depression. So you begin to feel negative. You feel depressed. So that's just the beginning of it. Okay? Do you understand? Now, what happens, the question was, what happens when you put a pyramid on? All right, if you put a pyramid on your head, a couple things are happening. Okay? First of all, a pyramid immediately goes into the pH level, the enzyme level of the body, and establishes a proper pH value. Proper pH value in the body can be determined by grapefruit juice, for example. If you drink grapefruit juice and it doesn't taste bitter or it doesn't taste too sweet, it's proper pH value. It's a real easy one to test. A grapefruit juice, I used to get grapefruits and pineapples in Hawaii. It was very sweet. You didn't have to sweeten a grapefruit or a pineapple. They were unnaturally sweet. But as time went on, this condition eroded and things started beginning tasting bitter. Well, we found that if you put the pyramid on grapefruit juice, it again tasted sweet, because the pyramid was balancing the pH. Okay? It's the same thing if you put it on your head. It's going to balance the pH. that immediately eliminates a certain amount of energy that your body has to subtly use up in order to maintain any sort of balance. But what happens is the pyramid, if it's worn over a period of time, it produces a negative ion effect, because ions do balance pH. It begins to allow you to feel good. You start feeling euphoric a lot. And what happens is when you're feeling euphoric, you're beginning to metabolize your vasopressin. So once again, we have lots of vasopressin being sent up into the pituitary gland. But vasopressin requires lysine and arginine. And so tell me, where are you going to get your lysine and arginine from? Protein. Where are you going to get good protein?
Seafood.
From what?
Seafood.
What sea? Seafood?
Seaweed. Yeah.
All right, fine. What seaweed from where? Where in the ocean?
In Japan.
Japan? Japan's very polluted. Yeah, couldn't have.
Okay, and now everything is pollution.
Yeah, everything's polluted. Right. Well, that's how we got into nutrition. That's how I got into formulation. This is what I found. I mean, you know, certain kinds of lobster I can still eat from way off the shores of Australia. You can't eat the local stuff. It'll kill you. I mean, everything is bad. So that's how we got into formulation. This is just one of many examples. This is why I got into formulation. Because this is where biochemistry, and this is what I came up to talk about in the first place, that you led yourselves right into it. I started looking at vitamins, because we found that when, first we had the pyramids on the market long before I got into nutrition. I mean, I was in nutrition, but I wasn't formulating anything. I was relying on other people's formulas. But once we brought the pyramids on the marketplace back about 12, 15 years ago, over a period, I wore one every day for 8 years, and you know, just to see what it would do. And I slept in one. I've been sleeping in one for about 15 or 20 years. I've got two children that were both born in the pyramid and raised in them. I mean, home birth and everything in the pyramid. And so I've pretty much had seen what they would do. And what would happen is they would cause a depletion in the body of certain things because there were not the proper, you know, in other words, the pyramid was providing electricity, but the body had to have the biochemical substance. It's like a battery. You can have a nice battery in a car and put a battery charger on it, but if you don't have any acid in it, after a while the battery's no good. You don't have any water and acid solution in it. So I began to look around at what was available on a formulated level, in other words, in a nutritional level, that would work. And I began to see formulas that were no good.
And so ends another evening with Dr. Bell. That's a lot of Dr. Bell for one evening, I'll tell you. Anyway, I hope that you got a little bit of the nutritional side, and a little bit of the other side, and a little bit of the other side. So that was really great. And until we see and hear from you again, you never know what we're going to have on the Dr. Bell's Health, Science, and Energy show. So we want you to... go ahead and fade away. There we go. Michael Hamilton, take us out. Take us way out. For the ultimate soul that I wrote you with. I can hear the atmosphere ripped on the barren brain. In a happy extension of being the same. I want to be flying. Where the waterfalls are singing, the miles of time, colored in a dream, pure misery. Dreams are to be me something I'll never understand. I'll call your name, then you call my name, and the ships are so grand. Searching for the truth of the magic behind.
Wheels of time, colored imagery, give us a room. Dreams of the name of something you will never understand. Call my name and I'll call your name and the ships are slowing down.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a Bloggins.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we much peace and joy on your journey.